Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to read chapter 1. Okay, 2 Kings, chapter 1. Now Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Beelzebub, and said the God of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" Then Elijah departed. When the messengers returned to him, he said to them, "Why have you returned?" And they said to him, "A man came up to meet us and said to us, 'Go return to the king who sent you and say to them, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die.'" And he said to them, "What kind of man was he who came up to meet you and spoke these words to you?" And they answered him, "He was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound about his loins." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on top of the hill. And he said to him, "O man of God, the king says, come down." And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said to him, "O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly." And Elijah answered and said to them, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent the captain of a third 50 with his 50. When the third captain of 50 went up, he came and bowed down on his knees before Elijah and begged him and said to him, "O man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains of 50 with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight." And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him." So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, "Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die." So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. And because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Amen. Okay, I know it's been a long time since we hit Kings, but let me just do a really quick summary, synopsis. All the kings, remember, now you have the northern and the southern. Northern, which now we call Israel, and the southern we call Judah. So Judah, are the ones, kings of Judah, were able to worship in the temple. There was a very specific order by which God wanted his kings to operate. One is to be mindful of the temple. Now, obviously, the northern kings couldn't do that because they were not near the temple. And so that was part of the judgment upon them. And it was really a simple formula. You obeyed God. You kept the temple. You obey the commandments. Blessing, glory, all that stuff is there. You disobeyed. You moved into idolatry. Punishment and tragedy is bound to come your way. And so now we are come face to face in the book of 2 Kings with Ahaziah. And Ahaziah now will become primarily one of the central characters going forth in the Kings. Elijah and now Elisha, which will take over in a moment. And so Moab goes after Israel. And so you'll notice that most of the kings, they don't automatically run towards the idols that way. And I think that's pretty consistent in our own lives as well. It's not like we choose one day to say, you know what, I'm not going to follow the Lord. I'm going to go follow something else. It usually happens through a time of trial. It usually happens through some negative circumstances. And what happens in people's heart, now I'm not speaking for Ahaziah, but I know in my own self and people that I minister to, that they get disappointed with God. And so in this case, it could have been that maybe Ahaziah felt like, oh, God, we're following you, and now here Moab is coming against us. Are you really going to protect us? And I find a lot of times, like I said, with people in this day and age, very similar. Either God doesn't answer prayer that they felt like he should, or they really trusted God on some matter and didn't fall through. And so it's not like they, you know, out of a vacuum, their disappointment, or, you know, they lose heart, or, you know, a lot of different things happen. And then they start chasing after other things. In our modern context, you know, they would stop going to house church, they stop going to church. You know, then they start doing things that they know they normally wouldn't be doing, and so on and so forth. And they put their focus not on the Lord or in his house, but on other matters as a way to kind of soothe their disappointment in that way. And so that's what happens here. Moab rebels against Israel after Ahab's death, and now they're in war again. And so seemingly Ahaziah, maybe he feels, I'm reading into this text now, right? And so maybe he feels like, well, he can't really trust God, and so he goes after Baal-zebub. And you guys know this is one of the names of the devil, and translated means the Lord of the Flies. And what this basic picture is particularly this place in Ekron. And it was interesting, I was reading this commentary, and one of the guys had gone to visit, and this is years later on, he said even to this day, it's just full of flies. And so this is one of those kind of spiritual motifs of the enemy, flies. You know, flies, it means there's death, carcass, maggots, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you see how this picture is, and you'll see that in a lot of literature. If you guys ever saw The Green Mile, you know, Stephen King's book, and a lot of he would use this kind of very, very similar imagery, basically dealing with possession in that regard, and evil spirits and whatnot. And you see that happening here. And so, what the king does, and this is really grievous in the eyes of the Lord. He doesn't inquire of the Lord, who actually is in charge of his life, who actually has a say in his life, and he chases other gods. And he goes particularly after this one god, the Lord of the Flies, and he asks, am I going to recover? And so this really, you know, primarily because, especially in these particular times, that the king was really the emissary or the figurehead of God in many ways to the Jewish people. And so here is this king who's supposed to represent God, and now he's chasing after other gods. And so you can see where the anger of the Lord burns, and so he tells his prophet. And this seemingly is a very important incident in that he sends, and you'll only get it when you begin to look at the Hebrew, there's a definite article, and he sends the angel, which really means Gabriel is sent. And he's the one that sits at the presence of the Lord and the primary messenger. So he sends the angel of the Lord, so this is Gabriel, to go up, and he says, go meet the Tishbite, and basically say to them, hey, is it there a reason why you're going to Beelzebub? Is there not a God in Israel who you can inquire about? Which, to Elijah, actually puts his life in danger. Because now he's really confronting and rebuking the king. And so, basically, the consequence of his idolatry is, you're going to die. And so, you know, there's a bed, and it's usually, you have to think about back in these times, they had these elevated beds, and it was kind of a huge sofa during the day and bed at night. And so he goes up there and says, you will not come down the steps of this bed. So they return to him, and the king, they
relay this they relay this message to the king, and what happens? The king says, "What?" And he says, "Who told you this?" And they respond, "Oh, he was a really hairy man." And I want to clarify this. Elijah was not a hairy man. He was wearing hairy clothing. And so don't, you know, not that it's a big deal that you misunderstand that. But this was a typical dress of the Bedouins during that time. And they would wear a big, like, woolly kind of clothing. And he had a loincloth, you know, around his waist. And this would be typically what Elijah looked like. And he was really of a wild-looking guy. And so he says, "Oh, I know it's Elijah." So he sends the captains, and this is where it gets really interesting. He sends the captain in his 50, and they turn him, and look what he says. This is verse 9. "O man of God, the king says, come down." Now, when we read this in English, it may seem like, oh, what's the big deal? He's actually called man of God. Actually, the tone here is very mocking. And it's you know, we can't really draw from, but you can see in Elijah's response, and he says, "If I am a man of God," in other words, this captain, they were questioning if he really was the man of God, if he really was the prophet, questioning if he really was God's emissary, and questioning who he is, questioning all these things. And check this out, God will have none of it. It's not that Elijah is backing himself up. It's God is backing up his prophet. And so he sends fire down from heaven. He consumes these 51 people. And then Ahaziah goes, "Okay, I'm going to send another captain." And now this guy's even a bigger idiot than the first one. Because notice his tone. Not only does he use the same mocking tone, thus you can read into that through Elijah's response, but he adds even more. He says, come down right now. And so he's kind of offering this command. And so Elijah, again, and says, "Well, if I'm a man of God, I mean, you're questioning my authority. You're questioning whether I'm the emissary of the Lord. You're questioning whether I'm a true prophet of God. Well, if I am a man of God, then let fire come down." And sure enough, fire comes down and consumes these other 51 people. And then the third guy was a little smarter than the other guys, and he comes down, and notice, same man of God, but he kneels, he humbles himself, and he says, basically, "Lord, please spare my life and the life of my soldiers." And so the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, tells Elijah, "Go down." Now, you'll notice a couple things here. You know, one, God will always stand behind his servants. And let me preface by saying, servants of the Lord have an incredible responsibility towards people. They have incredible responsibility towards God. And so Elijah, being a servant, he had already put his life on the line by rebuking the king, but he has to obey. You know, and brothers and sisters, I think this is a huge lesson for us, is that if we would walk in obedience, God will always take care of us, right? And no matter what obstacles come our way, no matter what military forces come, if we really obeyed and just simply obeyed what God asked us to do, God will always back us up. And he takes care. And in this regard, he actually avenges Elijah's honor. And now you see, you can kind of get an idea of the wisdom and the strength of David when he refuses to touch Saul, knowing that he was God's anointed. And you can see where David really understands, you know, this idea of the anointed servant of the Lord. And so he refuses to mess with them in that regard. And so, but I know a lot of times, you know, when there's teaching on this, there's usually, you know, one side, "Oh, don't mess with God's servants." That's important. But the other side, too, is as servants of the Lord, how important it is for us to walk in obedience, to really, really obey what God has asked us to do. And the incredible responsibility that we have, you know, before the Lord and before God's people. And so, you know, I'm a pastor, you know. I mean, it's really easy for me to come up here and say, hey, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm God's anointed, and so be careful, you know, treat me right, and et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, that's true in a sense, but really the focus is the greater responsibility that I have and that leaders and pastors and leaders in the church have in their responsibility towards the Lord, but also to God's people. I think that's probably a bigger focus or should be focused on more, you know, than the other part. And of course, you know, as congregations and people, you know, be careful, you know, what you say to the men of God and women of God and those kinds of things. But really, it's I mean, I really want to focus on the responsibility that Elijah has to obey. And even though he understands his life is on the line, the angel of the Lord says, go, and he goes. And he doesn't sugarcoat anything he says. He says it again, hey, you know, is it because there's no God in Israel that you go and inquire of Beelzebub? And in fact, you're going to die. I mean, that's his basic word. And it's precisely what happens when they eventually get to that place. And then we get to the next chapter, which is kind of intriguing, right? So let's close our eyes. Wow, it's so short today. Sorry, it takes me some time to get warmed up. So let's pray. Huh? Let's ask the Lord, if you're a leader, if you're a pastor, a house church leader, man, let's really talk to the Lord about our responsibility to obey. Our responsibility to the Lord, but also our responsibility to God's people. You know, Elijah would not be a good prophet if he let Ahaziah get away with stuff. And all we need to focus on is being right before the Lord and obeying what he asks us to do. And even if criticism or even if an army would come our way, God will take care of us. Holiness and obedience. That's what we as leaders need to be about. Holiness and obedience. And if we do that, God will take care of the rest. Now that's one side. On the other flip side, if you have people that are over you, and even myself, I do too, in that regard, are we honoring them? Right? Obey and submit to your leaders. Hebrews 13, a powerful verse. Right? That it may go well with you. And maybe some of us need to ask the Lord to forgive us if we've been disrespectful, like these captains were to Elijah. Maybe we've been harboring sentiment in our hearts that is not pleasing to the Lord. You know, it could be about your house church leader or one of the pastors. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today.
Till the end, you are faithful. their hearts, that's for me. Never a love that's always chasing me. His kindness overwhelming, hope for me unending. He's never giving up on me. I will sing of all you've done. I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning until the end. You are faithful. Will sing of all you've done. I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning till the end. You are faithful, faithful to there wasn't a day that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. And all of my life, your love has been true. And all of my life, I will worship you. There wasn't a that you weren't by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. And all of my life, your love has been true. And all of my life, I will worship you. Sing of all you've done. I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning till the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. I will sing of all you've done. I'll remember how far you've carried me from beginning till the end. You are faithful, faithful to the
Let's pray, huh? Spend some time this morning and let's pray about our attitudes towards leaders. And if you are a leader, let's ask the Lord about our responsibility as leaders, our holiness and obedience. Huh? Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's pray for our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal himself to them. Let's pray for those who are sick, non-cancer illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and his provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's lift up our government and ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray against the wealth gap and that the Lord would really move and the government would move on this behalf. Let's pray for revival. Let's lift up the churches and pray for our friends ministering here. Sports Services, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, Korean Church. And let's continue to pray for the students and the domestic helpers here. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with our team and that we would work with all of our hearts in that same place of holiness and obedience, and that God would really bless the labor of our hands. Just honor this church. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista. Pray for our leaders and our volunteers, and that God would really use them to just be that loving face and handshake at church. Let's pray for worship and sound. Pray for our AV teams, our leaders, and our musicians, and sound people. Let's pray for a heart of worship and just excellence in everything they do. They would really lead us into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for our last week of SPLI. Pray for the worship class and the art class, and ask the Lord to be with our students and our teachers, and that there will be a really it's a good time this week of really drawing close to the Lord through these things. And I know it's not on the list, but can we pray for our service this Friday night with Pastor Brian, and Saturday as well with our house church leaders? And let's ask the Lord to really have his hand upon us, and that really significant ministry would happen. The Lord would really anoint Pastor Brian with his words. So. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for your word today. God, thank you for the gentle reminder, God, as leaders and as followers alike, God, that we need to run hard after you, Lord. We need to be humble. We need to walk in obedience and holiness, and respect those that you've given over us, God. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you again. Lord, watch over us this week. God, help us to give all the glory to you in all that we do and say. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.